Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan, and we are the Democracy Defenders. I hope everyone is well, and we're ready to go.
Yes, we're ready to go. I'm so tired of these people, these Republicans up on Capitol Hill. They're bastards, man. You know?
Yep.
I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene had this woman on, for example. She's a former teacher, and Marjorie Taylor Greene had the nerve to call her, saying that, you know, she's not a teacher, and she's not a doctor, and, you know, she's not even a mother, because she's adopted with her partner, who's a female. And who's Marjorie Taylor Greene to give advice to anybody, you know?
Really?
What she should be concentrating on is getting the guns out there. Like AR-15s, and, you know, putting legislation in for, you know, the AR-15s to be off of the streets and banning assault weapons. But Marjorie Taylor Greene is a fool, you know. What are the major differences between Democrats and Republicans? That's the focus we're going to be on tonight's show. The difference and similarities between both parties. Have both political parties changed over the decades? I sure have. The 1960s was a pinnacle, a pivotal part of them changing directions. And, you know, we're going to break it down for you tonight. But before we do that, we're going to talk about, you know, Mike Pence. As you heard in that clip in the intro, he testified today. And whatever Jack Smith asked him, Jack Smith probably know the answer already. You know, depends on how Mike Pence answer. If he lied on behalf of Trump or detailed the truth, you know, we'll find out in due course. Call in tonight, 515-605-9802. Visit our website. We'll have our blog articles up, Laurie and I. It's www.kitchenpolitics123.com. Click onto blog and scroll down, and you'll see the three different articles. Okay, and we're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. 515-605-9802. Say first name and where you're calling from. And please, please turn off your TV and any background noise, because it's distracting to us and the people who are listening. So what's up, Lori? Mike Pence, what do you thought about his testimony?
He testified today for 5 hours. They said he got there at 9 a.m., and was out of there at, I believe they said 4:30. They didn't really talk about, you know, the questions, of course, but Jack Smith was there today, and Jack Smith was one was asking the questions. There are some times when Jack Smith is not there and not asking the questions. So today he was there, and he did ask the questions. He testified more than 5 hours. A source familiar with the matter told CNN, and while an advisor, Mark Short, did not confirm the appearance on Thursday, he addressed the legal back and forth over the testimony. And then it went on to say, I think that the president had his own case based on the speech and debate clause. He was pleased that for the first time, a judge acknowledged that it applied to the vice president of the United States, Short said in an interview on News Nation afterward, but he was willing to comply with the law and the courts, and they've ordered him to testify, and he did say he would tell the truth. So it'll be interesting to find out the type of questions that Jack Smith asked him in regards to the conversation that that Trump and him had at the time when he wanted him to, you know, basically fix the election, and arguments that they got into. That ought to be really interesting to hear the back and forth and how he felt about the president basically telling, you know, the crowd, the mob to, you know, hang Pence with the chants. So I interesting that to find out exactly what happens, what's said, and insight that Pence gives us. And will this be it? I mean, is this the end of the, in, you know, so-called witnesses? I think there should be, who am I thinking of? It'll come to me. I think there's one more that's supposed to be coming out. Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows.
Right, the former chief of staff, Mark Meadows.
Yes.
He was in contact
Mark
a lot
Meadows.
With Gina Thomas.
Yes, exactly. And I think he has so far, when the January 6th committee wanted him on, he, you know, he would not go. He just did not go. But I think if Jack Smith, I think he will go. So we shall see. It's going to be still a bad. The other thing, David, what do you think? You know, the presidential election is going to be, you know, they are starting to, you know, President Biden, we'll talk about that in a minute, he announced. And what are you thinking? You know, the timeline, I think, is very crucial for this investigation to end and for charges to be, you know, given out. What do you think about the timeline?
Unfortunately, the justice system grind real slow on everything, and the due diligence by Jack Smith must be commended and all, you know, and Pence's political doublespeak would just, like, twist me up totally, because on one side of the mouth, he's saying, oh, you know, he did call for my death, blah, 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 and yet still he's trying to be loyal to Donald Trump. Why? Because he's going to run for the nomination for the 2024 presidential election for the Republican Party. And let's just face it, Mike Pence is not presidential timber. He never is. He never was.
No.
He was a former congressman in Indiana. Then he was governor. And he's probably one of the most dangerous presidential candidates in the history, you know, of going for that office. You know, and everybody had the right to know what happened on that dreadful day. And that's why I'm for, you know, like having open hearings where people can sit and watch and decipher and go through the different things of what happened that day, what transpired that day, you know. And, you know, it's just dreadful and awful that these Republicans still supporting Trump. They're so scared of him, you know. The Republican Party of 40 years ago is not the Republican Party of today, you know, and he did try to kill Mike Pence, or his supporters had noose and behind my finger.
Mm-hmm.
So why is Mike Pence trying to protect Donald Trump?
It makes no sense whatsoever. Can't have his cake and eat it too, basically. You know, he can't be loyal to Trump and the MAGAs, MAGA Republicans, and be loyal to the country as well. It does not work that way. You either love your country or you love Trump. That's how it ends up being, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the timeline, I would like it, and I know, David, you said that it grinds slowly, but I would like the timeline to be sooner than later, because the more time that goes by, the closer to the election it gets, and then they'll start using the excuse that, you know, they are, you know, charging these people because the election is coming, and you know how they twist and turn things.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to see a clean, you know, just have it done and over with and behind us so we can go forward with, you know, the presidential election.
Exactly. As Martin Luther King Jr. once said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. You know, and justice is what we seek and what we're going to get, because we can trust and count on Jack Smith. You know, he is a no-holds-barred, no-nonsense guy and everything. And thank God Pence testified. And I just hope that everything that they needed to hear about Trump and his scheme was said. And, you know, Pence don't try to cover for him. You know, because that would
he is under oath. So let's hope, you know, that this, you know, he's always talking about how godly he is. So let's hope that, you know, his godliness, you know, continues when he testifies there. You know, let's hope. We shall see. This is another we shall see moment. I'm hoping that, you know, like I said, I hope that sooner than later. And, you know, we deserve justice. January 6th was a horrible event in this country. Horrible. It was heartbreaking. It was sad to watch. It was horrifying. I don't even know what other words to use right now, but it needs to be put behind us so this country can go forward.
Exactly.
And whoever it was, responsible, and I think it's a little deeper than Pence. I will say that I truly believe there are a few Republican senators, like I have no evidence, so to speak, but the feeling goes, like Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Jim Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert. Can you think of anybody else? I think all, you know, those.
Rip McForehead, that is Matt Gaetz from Florida.
Yes, another one. I think they either helped plot or they knew it was going to happen. And that will come out as well. You know, that's going to come out as well.
You know, and, you know, this has never happened before in the history of the United States, and they should be treated as criminals, everybody who served in the Trump White House, and Mike Pence, and whomever else that's close to this, Giuliani, you know, the former NSA guy who resigned after 2 weeks because he's a Russian asset. Mike, what's his name? General Mike, name slipped though. The ugly bastard that went to jail for a couple of weeks before Trump pardoned him. You know, they all should be in prison.
Yeah, not just a few weeks. You're right. Absolutely. I agree in that respect.
Exactly.
Like I said, you know, it took quite a few people to organize this. This was not a one-man deal. You know, this took a lot of... I don't even know. Planning.
Yeah, it couldn't be a one-man person, because Donald Trump don't have the brains or the intellect to carry off such a stunt.
Yeah.
You know, they want to appease him and they want to be in his good graces. So they did everything in their power to make sure that the election was overturned in 2020. Officers died. people got seriously hurt, you know, and Republicans trying to spin it, like Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, saying, oh, it was just some tourists there coming.
Yeah.
You know, the tourists, like, break into the building and piss on the walls and smear shit all over it. What is wrong with that man, you know? I tell you, these
and
people are bastards. All of them need to go to prison who were involved.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And I agree 100%. They need to get to the bottom of who was involved, and they have to serve their time. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm. And to show you how MAGA Republicans are such maniacs, the Republicans have been looking at the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop since October 2020, and they have had it for 30 months now, and still they offer nothing but threats about what's coming. You know, I mean, that's a waste of taxpayer money. If there's something or things that were in there that's incriminating, it would have been out a long time ago, you know? So I said bring it on or just shut the fuck up, you know, because these people can't govern.
You're absolutely right, David, because if they had something, you don't think that they would have put it out there already instead of just, you know, every day dangling that little carrot. Oh, Hunter Biden's laptop. It just makes me want to vomit. And you're right. They have nothing, but they only dangle the carrot so they act like they're doing something, and maybe he did something wrong. Give me a break, okay? Untrue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, these people just sickening, infuriating, maddening.
Yep.
You know, I can't have enough adjectives to describe how I feel about it. After all this is done, I feel I need therapy because Donald Trump and his megalomaniacs who, like, run the country to the ground in the past 4 years. Imagine $7 trillion in debt. He added $7 trillion to the debt. My God. You know, give tax cuts to the wealthy and 1%, you know. And if, like, God forbid, he won in 2020 again, a further $175 trillion in tax cuts for the wealthy. I mean, how much more tax cuts can the wealthy get? Because they don't pay no goddamn taxes. Why are they getting tax cuts in the first place?
Exactly. They are the welfare people. You know that, right? The welfare people. These corporations and billionaires are the ones that are living off the fat, so to speak, because they're not paying on their wealth. And it's unfair, democratic. It's inhumane. And there's people that are suffering because of these rich billionaires. It's infuriating. It's just maddening because how many years? This has been since 2017. Here we are, 2023, you know, and they still have, you know, the tax cuts. Of course, the Democrats are trying to, you know, and take that away and raise the, you know, so that they pay some tax. But, you know, that's going to take forever. It's crazy. It's crazy.
And that's what we need, a majority in both chambers of Congress. In the Senate, where 24 Democrats are running, 10 Republicans are running, we need a 60 majority for, you know, so they can't filibuster anything. We need a majority in the House seats because it's so goddamn gerrymandered out there with people catching on and so sick of their bullshit that, you know, something got to give in 2024. Let's look at a GOP playbook since Ronald Reagan in 1980. The run of the debt with tax cuts for the royalty, the blame socialism for the debt, the wait for the Democrats to be in office, and then to blame the Democrats and the Democratic president for putting America in a debt, and then to block any attempts to fix this debt, you know? And there's no compromise with Republicans. Since 1980, when Reagan was elected and came in 81, you know, called Democrats failures and everything, and used that with the sick, twisted spin machine to win the next election. You get what I'm saying? So they're good at spinning things and slamming it up on money in the waters and everything. And, you know, when that happened, they'll depend on sound bites. And these ignorant people who watch Fox News and listen to AON and other right-wing stations out there, you know, they don't care a thing for themselves. And, you know, they're not logical. They don't go out there and look for other sources of information. There's NPR, which is great. There's C-SPAN. you know, not just MSNBC and NBC and ABC or whatever. You have different sources, Washington Times, Washington Post.
Yeah,
you know,
New York.
But Republicans have to control the narrative. You know, they know how to bullshit the way through and fool the people, you know, like a sound bites and everything. And when they get in there, they cannot govern. And it's sad. It's sinking America. Enough is enough. It has to stop. And it's going to stop in 2024. 515-605-9802, the number to call. We'd love to hear from everybody. When you call in, say your first name, where you're calling from, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent. We want to hear from you. Well, first caller here from Michigan. Hello, Elaine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. You two are doing great. You've got a great thing going. We're out there giving the people the facts and the truth.
So, ladies, I want to ask this question. The topic tonight is two wings and a same bird. I know a lot of independent people who's neither Democrat or Republican, and, you know, they're sick of both political parties because, one, they feel that America should be a multi-party system, like what they have in Israel and Great Britain and other Western European countries, you know, and they're saying that, oh, it's either you're a neocon or a neoliberal, you know, but there are vast differences between two parties, you know. What's your thoughts on that,
Lori? Are you talking about like the Republican Party and the Democrat? Is that what you're talking about?
Independent voters usually tell me when I talk to me that both parties are the same. Is it two wings of the same bird?
No.
You know. Absolutely. And I want Elaine's perspective afterwards.
Yeah, they're absolutely not the same. And we will go through in a little bit and prove our point that the same. They are so far apart right now. Maybe at one time, you know, they maybe cared about the people and they were conservative and small government and whatever kind of other BS. But now they are 180 degrees of difference now, and the Republican is radical right, MAGA radical, you know, and the Democrats are
fringe.
Pardon?
No, they're fringe. Republican Party's fringe right.
Yeah.
It make Meloni in Italy look like a Girl Scout, and Hitler would have been proud. The right wing they've become.
When you think of the Republican Party, you know, the way that they're going right now is basically, you know, I think of Mussolini, you know, that's the direction that they want to take it in. And that cannot happen. My poor mom told me stories of fascism and Mussolini and how they took over their homes. And, you know, it was at 90 years old, it still was a fond, horrible memory to her. It was a horrible memory to her. It was, and she forgot it. So I'm thanking God that she's really not here to see the crap that we're going through right now. It would just be terrible, you know. So,
yeah.
Elaine, what do you think about the two parties?
What do I think? I think that there isn't any similarities in the two parties. I think the one party has taken and twisted the Constitution to the point of they just have no comprehension of what they're talking about. It's all a bunch of lies over and over. Like Ted Cruz. The first lie that comes, well, I shouldn't say lie. First thing he says is, I'm a constitutional attorney. I studied constitutional law, yada, yada, yada. And then what does he do?
Yeah.
He takes and misrepresents the Constitution. It's just crazy. And, Lori, like you were talking about your mom, I remember my grandmother telling me how they couldn't wait to get out of Poland because Russia was coming in. We're talking in the 1920s. 20s, 1930s. And they wanted out because they could see what Russia was doing. And this is exactly what Russia's doing again. They're trying to take over Ukraine. I mean, it just and to me, I think the parties really changed when Theodore Roosevelt broke the monopolies. I think that there was a slow change in the Republican Party. The Republican Party at that time was a party of fairness, but it doesn't seem to be anymore. The Republican Party now wants to be a church party. I'm sorry, but it does, it's not going to work. We have too many religions in this country to be a religious country. We are religious. You practice your own religion. But religion and politics do not mix. That's oil and water.
It is absolutely
exactly oil. Because when you look in Iran, for example, that's a theocracy. And when you look at Pakistan, that's a theocracy. You know, there are different countries out there, you know, when you bring in religion and religion running the government and everything. Last week, Lauren Boebert, your friend Lauren Boebert, she went on stage somewhere in Colorado in her district saying that, oh, you know, the government should stop telling churches what to do. The government should be listening to churches, you know. And Republicans basically, since Barry Goldwater days, when you ran in 1964 against Lyndon Johnson, you know, he warmed after the election because Barry Goldwater, like, got blown out of the water. LBJ whooped his ass. And he said, he warned against, you know, evangelicals, saying that, you know, that they tried to force him in a corner, basically, you know, saying bringing religion in the picture and everything, the body politic. And is it the 14th Amendment? One of those amendments saying that there's a clear separation between church and state. Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the document, said there should be separation of church and state. All the forefathers who founded America said there should be a separation of church and state. So when these Republicans and these federal paper people, Federalist paper people saying, oh, no, you know, God, you know, the United States was formed on Christianity and the Bible and what have you. You just, like, scratching and looking at them and wonder what drug they're taking. And can I have some? Because they're so delusional, you know. I mean, it can't have been clear what Thomas Jefferson said about, you know, religion intertwining with politics and everything. You know, but we'll come back to this topic, but Kevin McCarthy, his house just passed a cruel bill with most extreme hostage demands. And the bill would, one, cut food assistance programs, two, cut access to Meals on Wheels, three, strip away healthcare service for veterans, four, take away healthcare for millions of Americans, I think 26 million Americans, and number five, send manufacturing jobs overseas, the outsourcing of jobs. Now, Kevin McCarthy is a complete sellout in the United States. You know, he has the most extreme members in his party, and we could go through the names and everything, but we're not really wasting the time calling the names, because they're a bunch of jokers and losers, just like Donald Trump and Kevin McCarthy. You know, this is what happens when you're the weakest speak in history. You know, he cut some deal with Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and the far wing MAGA, the ultra MAGA people. And went through 16 times before he was elected speaker. I mean, what did he give up, you know, besides his integrity to become Speaker of the House? You know, He has Marjorie Taylor Greene as the Speaker pro tempore when he's not there. I mean, how crazy is that? She has no sense, absolutely no sense, but yet still she's Speaker pro tempore. This is where our country is heading. You know, we'll have some losers as leaders, you know?
She's not a leader. You can't even call her a leader. She's a bully. She is a bully. She has no filter. She has no feeling. She reminds me of an angry attack dog. That's what she reminds me of. You know, see those dogs that are so, you know, they've never been trained or they're hungry or, you know, they've been on the run and they're loose or whatever. That's what she reminds me of. Just an angry attack dog because she doesn't have any common sense. She doesn't have any empathy either. It's not part of her. I don't know what happened to her in her life that she seems angry all the time, you know, and hateful. But, you know, that's not our problem. And
she reminds me of a spoiled brat.
Yes. And
a rich, spoiled brat.
Absolutely. And the other thing is she doesn't, not only is she a spoiled brat, but she doesn't have the experience for the job that she's doing. She has no clue. She really doesn't. And it's very evident, you know. I mean, you call somebody a liar on the floor? Are you serious? You're talking to somebody that's prestigious, and you call them a liar to their face? Really? Who brought you on,
Even our own Republicans chastise her for that. It was the Homeland Security Secretary. That you call a liar, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just animosity and acrimonious behavior on her part and everything. And, you know, speaking of evil, Congressman and Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, unveiled his bill this week that would pair $4.5 trillion in spending cuts with a $1.5 trillion increase in federal debt limits, laying out an open position in what is likely to be a tense partisan debate over government borrowing. So basically, the summary of the plan for the debt ceiling increase, McCarthy, his bill would suspend the nation's borrowing limit, which is currently at $31.4 trillion through March 31st, 2024, until the increase by another $1.5 trillion, you know? So as you say, the presidential election year coming up and everything, and last three government shutdowns that happened on the Republicans' watches, and they suffered real bad for it. They look bad, they look stupid, they look incompetent, which they are. And if they haven't learned from those three mistakes, and they do it again, I mean, so many different demographics are pissed off at them. Women, we kind of take away women's right to choose with Roe versus Wade. They're against minorities, you know, against equal pay for equal work, against maternity leave. So women are really pissed off at these sons of bitches, you know, but yet still.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, go. Oh, okay. And so the spending restraints that Republicans and McCarthy want is cutting in veterans' benefits, is cutting in Social Security, Medicare, you know. They're not doing not a damn thing about immigration. It's been on the books to do something about immigration since George W. Bush was president. And they just refuse to touch it, you know. But yet still they have the gall to scream on top of their voices, oh, Joe Biden has an open border letting people in. We're not vetting them. So if that's the case, then why don't you try working with the White House to come up with a solution, you know, in terms of immigration reform? Because they're passing no and keep saying no, and there's no solution. They don't know how to govern. Go ahead, Elaine.
But you know, they're total hypocrites. To begin with, there isn't anybody, both Republican and Democrat and independent, that are up there in Washington that they could afford to take a price cut. That would be a start. I don't want to hear this crap out of their mouth. Well, it's only a few thousand dollars. Well, excuse me, but isn't that how we balance our budget in our home? Maybe more more qualified women should be running for office. First of all, they can take a price cut and start from there. But no, they want to take food out of children's mouths.
It's
got to stop. It's time that the CEOs that get these obscene, horrible raises for nothing, and the stockholders, that's too bad, they're just going to have to bite the bullet. They won't get as big a check, but they'll still get a check. And these CEOs got to take a break, get a cut, and they got to start paying their fair share of taxes. I mean, how many yachts can you have? Billion-dollar yachts. And we can't even afford to drive a car.
No, it's
right?
sad.
Right, put gas in that car. But, you know, to show the double standard and the hypocrisy of Kevin McCarthy, when in his 4 years, Donald Trump got like a blank check. You know, when debt limit time come up, no problem. Here, go. Knock yourself out, you know. Well, as soon as Joe Biden come, like, oh, you know, we'll watch the spending kind of deficit is high. And, you know, why do people vote for these clowns, these losers? Why? I don't know where Elaine was. Elaine is still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know
I
why,
like
but I know that we're mm-hmm. doing a lot better job of going against these lies. There for the longest mm-hmm. time, I would sit back and I would say, isn't anybody going to say anything? Finally, we're mm-hmm. fighting back. It's a street fight. Well, darn it, they're the ones that, like you always say, David, mm-hmm. you know, bring your fist to the street. Quit fooling around. This is a street
mm-hmm.
fight.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get out there, and we're starting to fight. We're starting to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
I got my
mm-hmm.
word. To the
exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
But no, we're doing. I think we're starting to do a good job of fighting back and fighting back these lies.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you brought Israel up in the conversation, Laurie and David. Israel's having their problems. They are
mm-hmm.
starting to have some big mega problems. Netanyahu is starting
mm-hmm.
to act just as bad as Trump. He wants
mm-hmm.
to be the dictator. And I hope to heaven
mm-hmm.
that people in Israel stand up to him. Let's
mm-hmm.
get back
mm-hmm.
on our politics. I just wanted to thank both of you for bringing up Israel.
Thank you.
Oh, definitely.
You're welcome.
Definitely.
Yeah, David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Netanyahu, do you notice that Ron DeSantis went to Israel to meet with Netanyahu? Why?
When did
we're paying homage to Netanyahu now, like we paid homage to Vladimir Putin. I don't get that visit from DeSantis. He went to Japan. He's going all over the world, but yet still Fort Lauderdale is flooded out. He won't go there. You know, what's the deal with Ron DeSantis, you think, going to Israel, paying homage to Netanyahu?
Well, there's a few dictators decided they were going to take over. And they figured they were going to take over the United States and Israel and Russia. They were going to be the three megapowers. But it's not working out, is it? The people, we're communicating. It's not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
It's time has come. We're fighting back.
Ron DeSantis
mm-hmm.
is losing
yes, we are.
His spark. You know, Ron DeSantis is losing his spark anyways. You know, I think people are fed up with his, you know, woke. Everything is woke out of his mouth. You know, his fight with Disney. You know, I think people are starting to just be fed up with him. You know, he is a wannabe
mm-hmm.
dictator. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, can only go so far with that. And he's already
mm-hmm.
tired with, you know, all the things that he's done in Florida. And they're not
mm-hmm.
good things for the people, for sure. And, you know, you're sick of
mm-hmm.
it. And that's all there is to it. He is not presidential material at all. He is
mm-hmm.
not.
And every time people find out more and more and learn more about Ron DeSantis, the more they hate him. You know, whether
yeah.
Democrat, Republican, Independent, he is just
yeah.
like Trump, but only smarter in terms of book smart and everything. And
yeah.
he's more eloquent. And you know, mm-hmm. he's just a shyster. You know, he makes his skin crawl.
I don't know about the eloquent part, David, because I've seen
mm-hmm.
him in, you know, with the press in front of him, asking him a question.
Mm-hmm.
And he just cuts them
mm-hmm.
down. You know, he's
mm-hmm.
rude,
mm-hmm.
downright rude
mm-hmm.
and nasty. So he's not...
Yeah.
and eloquent, in my opinion, from what I have seen,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
Disney now counter-suing Ron DeSantis because Disney is saying that he's using his office to try to bully, you know, Disney into doing, you know, what he tells them to do.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, David, the thing is that Disney is going on the is suing him because they feel that they have taken away their First Amendment rights. And if you think about it, they have, because you know, Disney is you know, they accept everybody. You know, if you're gay, you're straight, you're, you know, whatever. They don't care, you know. And that's what he takes. That's why he's angry at them. And they didn't like what he, and they spoke out against the no, don't say gay. Remember that? They spoke out against the don't say gay
bill.
Spoke out against it.
Yes.
And that's
so
when
again,
it all started.
And again, a Republican is pandering to the evangelicals, you know, that that cursed bill. 515-605-9802, the number to call. Say your first name, where you're calling from. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
You were talking about DeSantis. It's Susie.
Yes.
I just saw this on my phone news that DeSantis chastised a reporter Thursday as he spoke in Jerusalem and denied that he had been present for force feeding during the U.S. service at the U.S. military base in Guantanamo Bay. Laurie, you were talking about that the other day.
And the
moment occurred as Mr. DeSantis gave a press conference at the Museum of Tolerance Cultural Center in the Israeli territory of West Germany, Jerusalem. His visit to the Mideast comes as the Florida governor is thought to be preparing for his bid for the Republican, blah, blah. At the press conference, Mr. DeSantis was questioned about claims from a former Guantanamo Bay detainee who was held without being charged for more than a decade at the notorious military prison, accused him of being present for episodes where he was force-fed by guards to break a hunger strike. They say the guy's name, but I can't pronounce him, Masur Adolfi, a Yemen citizen who was held for 14 years at Gitmo till the independent in March, that he was brutally force-fed at camps by camp staff during the hunger strikes in 2006, and Mr. DeSantis was present for at least one of those sessions. Force feeding is designated a torture by the United Nations. Do you honestly believe that's credible? DeSantis said. It was 2006. I'm a junior officer. Do you honestly think that they would remember me? Said DeSantis, shot back to the news guy.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Did you have a facelift? Really?
Who would you forget if you saw that, if you were in that position? That was burned to your brain, wouldn't you think?
No kidding.
And that same prisoner in Guantanamo, didn't he throw up on Ron DeSantis' shoe?
And he didn't flinch. So think about that.
It was in the Washington Post and New York Times, the reports.
Yes.
I mean, it came out on
the Independent today, and that I just saw it. I said, Laurie just said that.
I saw that. I read that interview months ago, and I was. It still makes me sick when I even think about it, because this man wants to be president, and think about that.
Ron DeSantis is a clown. Speaking of presidents, Joe Biden announced re-election, was it 3-4 days ago? And he said that the nation's soul is a battle for the nation's soul, and it's not completed yet. And we'll have to give him another, a second term and everything. It set off the battle to convince the country that his record merits another 4 years in the White House, and his age won't impede his ability to govern. What Joe Biden did in 2 years is more than Donald Trump did in 4 years. And let me quote Joe Biden, quote, "When I ran for president 4 years ago, I said, We are in the battle for the soul of America, and we still are, you know. And what happened in January 6th, really, the insurrection and abortion rights activist protests, the U.S. Supreme Court getting rid of Roe versus Wade, according to Biden, the question we are facing is whether in the years ahead we have more freedom or less freedom, more rights or fewer. I know what I want the answer to be, and I think you do too. This is not a time for complacency. That's why I'm running for re-election, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. So Joe Biden, you know, I mean, we should stop talking about age. You know, we're talking about experience and what has been done. Joe Biden in 2 years has done more than Donald Trump has done in 4 years. He has a true track record. CHIPS program.
He saved us.
Exactly.
And he's still trying. And he would have a lot more done if the Republicans in Congress would just do what they should do, what's right, you know. Protect Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, reverse that $2 trillion tax cut that idiot did for the rich and the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, help schools come back from the everything. You know, I was just watching CNN, and guess who was on? Richard Dreyfuss, you know, the actor?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
He just wrote a book.
Yeah, isn't he Republican?
He's a middle of the roader. He said he's not either way. He's a centrist. He wrote a book. It's One Thought Scares Me. And you know what that is? The invisible killer. The lack of civics education. He said kids don't know the Constitution. They don't know the rules, you know, the laws and everything, and their rights and all that. And that makes them ignorant on what's going on now in politics and our government.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that's the silent killer. And because they don't understand and don't learn it in school, it goes right over their head. They're like numb.
Now, I see a little difference. Like when I go on social media, there are a lot of Gen Zers on there that are speaking out. I've never seen so many as I have in the last year since Roe versus Wade. And I mean, it's young women, young men. They have fire in their bellies. I think we are cutting them short in a lot of ways. So I'm going to say some of them maybe don't know what's going on, but there is a lot of them that knows what's going on.
A lot of them, they're between your age and our age and their age, you know, that in between. You know, we learned all that stuff in school, but then there was a gap. And then they're trying to reverse it now in school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's afraid of. The kids in there now, like DeSantis, you can't teach about, civil rights and the Civil War and all that stuff. That's what he's afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to
Lori. You know, with all these legislative accomplishments by Joe Biden and Democrats, why do you think he has such low approval ratings?
You know, that I was going to bring that up. I blame the media for it. I truly do. Mm. We have been bombarded with these right-wing MAGA nut jobs and Trump for years upon years now. What is it, 6-7 years now? And everything else is on the back burner. So everything that that President Biden and his administration have accomplished has really been on the back burner. I mean, they talk about it maybe for a day, if they even talk about it a day, maybe in one news cycle, you know, 1 hour. That's about it. Everything else is you know, the January 6th, you know, the E.J. Carroll trial, you know, his other, the other trial that he's going to have in New York. I mean, everything is Mar-a-Lago. I mean, everything is consumed by man that has caused this nation so much pain. And poor President Biden, who I feel so bad for, because this man, you can tell that he loves the country. He loves his people. And you don't, and if you stop to think, don't you think that he would love to spend more time with his grandchildren, his family, you know, things like that, and just be more personable with his, you know, close-knit with his family?
He's sacrificing a lot. He is sacrificing.
I do believe that. I mean, really. Mm-hmm. And so we have to give him credit for that. Dear God. And now he's going to have to fight for the debt ceiling. That's going to be a war. You don't think that that's not going to be a war? It is going to be a war, because that's what they're setting the stage for.
It,
you know,
the fascist right that is under the blanket of Christianity and the church, and they're taking over everything. And the only one standing there is Biden to save us. I mean, and he doesn't have a hell of a lot of people behind him either, because it's like that cult, you know, that's fighting him. And it's everywhere. And you're right, not enough in the papers, on the news and everything, and people out there beating the bushes and saying what he is doing and what they're ruining our country, the other guys, you know?
Yes. And that's what I would like. I would like to hear more positive things, even though we do have to listen. We have to know what's going on. Absolutely, we do. And, you know, that's part of our fixation. You know, we're all fixated on, you know, negativity, because that's how we're programmed. But, geez, you know, there are some beautiful things that he did. I mean, you know, the bipartisan, the infrastructure bill, you know, it just mind boggles me that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, here's a let me give you an example. Here's a news reporter. Let's say he was going to talk about Joe Biden's accomplishments today. But what about that young woman who was trying? I only caught part of the news today. I've been in and out, and I don't know what state it is. But she is transgender, and she was talking to the Republican part of their body. I wish I would have caught it sooner. And they're censoring her, and she can't come back to the chambers because she said to them, if you pass this horrible health bill against transgender children, you will have their blood on your hands. So they took and threw her out and will not allow her back in. Now, how in the hell are we going to be able to fight that? It's putting one fire up after another. That's a First Amendment. There's an elected woman. An elected woman. So she's transgender. So what? Yeah. She was put there to work for the people. And they've thrown her out of office.
Her name is Zoe Zephyr. She's from Montana. She's transgender and everything. And voted to censor her. I don't know if they kicked her out or just censored her and everything.
Thank you, David. I mean, this is where it's coming from. They just keep throwing this crap at us. We're like sitting in a giant cesspool.
Yeah. Like the two black young reps. What was it, Alabama or Mississippi? They got thrown out because they were protesting guns.
Tennessee.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Tennessee. They got thrown out, but they got put back in. But how dare they? How dare they do that?
You know, the thing is that they got put back in, but they're also not being treated. They cut their mics off quite a bit, from what I've gathered.
Well, they did it before. That's why they went on that speaker thing.
Right. But
the blowhorn.
I have that clip from Montana and everything, CBS News, where the censor her eventually voted to kick her out in Montana State Legislature. Her name is Zoe Zephyrell, and she faced a disciplinary vote. And the House Leader the House Republican leader seeking disciplinary consequences for Sanders transgender lawmaker Zoe Zephyrs. She says she could be facing censure or expulsion from the state legislature. So this is CBS's Meg Oliver with the report, two-minute video.
Montana, the growing outrage over the treatment of a transgender lawmaker. Public protests in the legislature were met with police in riot gear on Monday. This was the third straight session that Democratic State Representative Zoe Zephyr was barred from speaking over a comment she made about a bill to ban gender-affirming care. She now says she could face censure or expulsion from the chamber later today at the hands of the Republican majority. Meg Oliver has more on this story. Beginning defiantly Monday, Montana House Representative Zoe Zephyr raised her arm holding a microphone to amplify the voices of her supporters, demanding she no longer be silenced. The freshman lawmaker, who is transgender, tweeted last night that she faces expulsion or censure later today. That's after Republican House leaders announced they would vote whether her actions violated the safety, dignity, or decorum of the House of Representatives.
No representative is above our House rules.
For over a week, Zephyr has been barred from speaking on the House floor until she apologized for her comments opposing a Republican bill banning gender-affirming care for minors.
If you vote yes on this bill and yes on these amendments, I hope the next time there's an indication, when you bow your heads in prayer, you see the blood on your hands.
Montana's Republican House Speaker deemed those comments out of line and that they broke House decorum.
We're elected to have the hard conversation.
Speaking to John Dickerson last night on CBS News streaming, Zephyr says she's not apologizing for what she said, and in fact, she would say it again.
When marginalized communities, communities who are impacted the most by legislation, rise up and speak to the heart, those folks in power, particularly on the far right, do not want to be held accountable for the real harm that these bills bring.
For CBS Mornings, I'm Meg Oliver.
Yes, so there was Zoe Zephyr, the Montana transgender lawmaker, who's going to get banned and get kicked out of the House and everything. But my thing is, it's utterly ridiculous and absurd that the state of our country and economy, we're focusing on this crap. What about, focusing on high inflation and getting it down? It's the highest in 40 years. The higher gas prices, skyrocketing utility bills, groceries. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? They're different. There are more important things to worry about and try fixing than trying to get in somebody's bedroom.
Yeah. Well, but they blame Biden for all that. Inflation's all his fault. High prices is all his fault.
Well, that's what Republicans do. I mean, that's what they do. That's their playbook, they run up the debt with tax cuts. They blame socialism for the debt. You know, then they wait for a Democratic president, right? And then they blame them for the debt. Then they have blocked their attempts to fix it. And then they call them failures. And then they use that to win the next election. And then they repeat it over.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the God's truth. That's exactly what they do. And, and we were talking before about tax cuts to the billionaires and these corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they haven't paid, mind you, since 2017, they got these huge tax cuts, right? So why have they raised their prices and they use COVID as an excuse, in my opinion? But I know things were bad with COVID. I understand all that. Okay, but we're way past COVID now. It's 2023, and why can't these corporations give the American people a break? Why is it that they pay no tax and they are charging $5 for a bag of Doritos now? Honestly, I mean, I won't buy them because it's outrageous, but I'm just saying this is what we're facing in this country. They're so greedy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay tax. And here we are, people work every two jobs and everything keeps going up. And they blame the Biden administration. Why not blame the people that have caused the inflation? It's the Republican Party. Bottom line,
I know when whites try to yell at the oil companies to lower the prices, oh, heaven forbid, you can't control the price of oil. Our gas up here in our little resort town was $3.79 last week. It went down to $3.71. We're one of the highest gas price little teeny towns, you know. And then, you know, if the tourists are coming, they're jack up the price right away again. We're still not into tourist season. You know, Dave, you got to read that thing on your site, the myth that Republicans are physically responsible. Read that. That's perfect.
That they're fiscally responsible. Yeah, they're trying to claim that mantle since Hoover days and Hoover's shitty policies led into the Great Depression. And since 1932 till now, Democrats have been fixing Republican messes. So, you know, when they talk about being fiscally conservative, you know, it's a joke. You know, look at George Bush Sr., for example. He kind of went to hell. Bill Clinton got it back up. You know, George W. Bush, it went shit. We're losing jobs left, right, and center. And without any help from Republicans, Barack Obama saved the car industry. He did many things without the Republicans. He got 75% of the things done without Republicans' help. So imagine if he got just a little of Republican help. Would have been further, you know, and doing better as a country. But no, you know, everything come down to partisanship, you know. And for the Montana Republicans to say, oh, you know, she broke the quorum. Who's better than breaking the quorum than Republicans with a caustic, you know, shitty attitude and the way to speak to people and speak down to people? You know, these people need to be taught a lesson in 2024.
You know, David, I don't think what she said was wrong. She didn't say anything horrible. She didn't call anyone a liar like Marjorie Taylor Greene did. She just spoke her heart. She spoke her heart.
And there was protesters in the chambers, but they were peaceful protesters. They didn't bring a gun. They didn't bring an AR-15 like they did to the Capitol here in Michigan when they wanted to protest our governor.
Yeah.
Or when they wanted to protest that they wanted to cut their lawn and it was still snowing outside. No, they jammed the Capitol and they're carrying AR-15s and all kinds of hand grenades and all kinds of other crap. It was a peaceful protest. They were there protesting for children. I am getting sick and tired of these religious zealots telling us what we are to believe. I don't care what they believe. Believe whatever you want to believe. Read your Bible in the morning. Read it at night. But don't tell me what to believe.
I know.
Yeah, separation of church and state, right? They're constitutionalists.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. BS.
Well, you know,
Dave, this thing you have on your site is real on point. You said Reagan took the deficit from $70 billion to $175 billion. Bush, 41, took it to $300 billion. Clinton got it down to zero and left the office with a surplus of $86.4 billion. Bush, 43, took it from zero to $1.2 trillion. Obama halved that to $600 billion. He cut it in half. Trump added $7.8 trillion to the largest peacetime budget deficit in America history, and a national debt exceeding 100% of the economy for the first time since World War II. Biden reduced the deficit by $1.4 trillion in his first 2 years in office. Now, why aren't they on their desks in Congress, standing on top, reading that to the Republicans when they start talking budget?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a good question. A good question. I wish I had the answer. Like I said, I really would like them to talk about more of the accomplishments that the Biden administration has made. You know, I really would. I mean, remember the CHIPS Act, the PACT Act, that was for veterans, the infrastructure bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, the American Rescue Plan, where everyone got $1,400. Remember the $1,400 that everybody got? I think that's how much it was. I mean, how about Climate Act and all that? Student debt. Well, he did try to do student debt cancellation, but of course the Republicans have blocked that. You know, so I mean, there's lots of things that lots of things that he's done that have not been emphasized enough, in my opinion, or explained in depth so people understand. You know, what
I know
the
Democrats do stuff and they don't talk about it, and then so the big mouth on the right beats some drums and they make all their things. Oh, you didn't do this, you're causing that. And it's not true. And we're not fighting back. And it's driving me nuts.
Right.
Do you think maybe we should start a drive and ask people to start calling the media and demanding that they start talking the talk?
No, because, listen, that's not going to help anything. Why? Because, you know, people lazy. They have the business going about trying to put food on the table, pay mortgage, school fees, whatever. You get what I'm saying?
You mean a person can't pick up their email and email the media and tell them how they feel? I'm sorry, but the Republicans have been doing it for years.
Well, you got to do that to
the
congressmen. You got to do it to the congressmen because the media. Yeah,
and the media. The media is lazy. The media is lazy.
It depends who you listen to because it's so divided, the media. Like there's Fox and then there's MSNBC. You know, the MSNBC, you'll hear it straight.
Since the 80s, the religious right has put the pressure on the media. The religious right has put the pressure on the people they put in office. And we sit back and say we're too busy.
Well,
something's wrong with that scenario. If you're too busy, then you've got a problem. You can pick up your telephone. You can email them. You can pick up your telephone. You can call them. You can call radio stations, and you can start saying, this is what I would like. This is what I would like. You hear from enough people, and you start changing your tactics.
Capitol
Hill switchboard is 202. Capitol Hill switchboard, 202-224-3121. Ask the operator to put you through to your congressman or congresswoman or your senator and raise hell on them, okay? That's the best thing about writing and what
have you. If they have it on voicemail, then you call it again and you ask them for their state office. And they will give you the phone number to the state office, and then you call that number. And that's putting the pressure on, because a lot of times when they're getting pressured, they put it on voicemail so they don't have to bother answering the phone. So then you call, and let's say you call their state. You call their state office, and you talk to someone, and when they get bothered, they'll put it on voicemail. You just keep calling.
You can email. Our local newspaper up here at Traverse City has on their editorial all the phone numbers and the emails of our local our state representatives up there. So you can get a hold of them.
They're
printed every day.
Yeah, they're not hard to find. You know.
No.
The other thing I want to talk about for a minute, if we can, the Senate GOP blocked the Equal Rights Amendment.
Again,
Senate Republicans on Thursday blocked a measure that would have allowed the Equal Rights Amendment to be added to the Constitution. Senators voted 51-47 to invoke cloture on a motion to proceed, falling short of the 60 votes it needed. Lisa Murkowski, Alaska, Susan Collins, Maine, were the lone two Republicans to vote with every Democrat. That's a surprise. The ERA passed Congress in 1972, having been first proposed in 1923. Constitutional amendments under U.S. law must be ratified by three-quarters of all state legislators, meaning 38 states. So here we go.
Ridiculous. You know, I remember when they tried to do it, when they passed Roe versus Wade and the Civil Rights Act, and we wanted the Equal Rights Act, equal pay for women as men.
Yeah.
I remember working at the damn bank, getting the half of what the guy right next to me got more of. You know, it was ridiculous.
Yep.
And it's not passed yet? What the hell?
Yep. Yeah, and there's really no good reason. I mean, there really isn't. I mean, it's been 50 years. There's no reason, Republicans. That's all. Men. I don't know what else to say.
I mean, poor women couldn't sell their property if they're widows because it was under their husband's name and all this kind of crap back when. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not right. It is absolutely not right. And then this has been going on for 100 years. And back in 100 years, you know, the women couldn't own property. Only their husbands could and that kind of stuff. And we got a little better on some of those laws. But we're still not equal rights. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
Republicans, you know, I guess the fair educated woman or strong woman, you know, the see you as a threat, really. You're a woman. You should be in the kitchen. You should know your place. That's the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And coupled with, you know, their Christian beliefs and everything, where they got everything off, or the cherry pick the Bible, you know, say, oh, Jesus, you know, women should know their place. You know, that's the whole thing that's holding down, you know, women, especially the Republican women. How can you support a party who, you know, basically shit on women, you know, and disrespect them and what have you? You know, I don't get that thinking. So do you think the Supreme Court under John Roberts will have a, what's the word for it now?
A hearing?
There are some things, no, not a hearing, man. Things that have been happening with Clarence Thomas and Gorsuch where they brought law by selling properties and not reporting it and everything. You know, nobody watching the Supreme Court, basically. They're getting away with breaking laws with no repercussions or consequences. Do you think that, you know, a system should be put in place where,
have the same ethics rule that all the other judges in the United States have?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. They need to. It has to go, it has to be, the Senate has to pass this because they need to have rules and laws, especially they're in there for life. You know, they can't be touched unless they're impeached. But they have to have the same rules as every other judge in the country on all levels.
Now, right now, there is a Senate panel that has been set up. And Chief Justice John Roberts has declined an invitation from Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat, Illinois, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, to testify before the panel, calling such testimony by Chief Justices exceedingly rare. The Senate panel had planned to hold a hearing on May 2nd to examine what Durbin called common sense proposals to hold Supreme Court justices to the same ethical standards as the rest of the federal judiciary. And Durbin had invited Roberts or his designate to take part. Testimony for the Senate Judiciary Committee by the Chief Justice of the United States is exceedingly rare, as one might expect in light of the separation of powers concerns and the importance of preserving judicial independence, Roberts wrote in his response to the invitation. I don't believe a word he just said there. And then Durbin went on to say in a statement, make no mistake, Supreme Court ethics reform must happen or participate in the process or not. Any such effort at reform is unlikely to have enough support in Congress, of course, right now. So even even Justice Roberts is a chicken. Obviously, he must have something to hide as well. So,
well, they did find some stuff on him. What is the rule? Nobody's above the law?
Mm-hmm.
They're not God.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why they wear black robes, you know. God came down to earth and said, gee, I'm getting tired of you trying to imitate me in a white robe. You'll now wear black robes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, David.
It's a sarcastic joke. It's a sarcastic joke.
I know.
Yeah, so let's do a comparison chart between Democrats and Republicans. Two wings on the same bird. Okay, so the philosophy of the Democrats, they're liberal, left-leaning, and progressive, compared to Republicans, who are conservative, right-wing, and, you know, more like, you know, bringing Christianity and religion in their politics. So philosophically, there is a huge difference, you know, in terms of economic ideas, in terms of social and human ideas. Stance on the military standout contrast, where Democrats are for decreasing spending on the military budget compared to Republicans who want to increase every year. You know, trillions of dollars, you know, Republicans keep. I mean, look at it. The military industrial complex, you know, that boosts the economy when there's war going on. And basically, you know, America is just like war, you know, because it makes money. You get what I'm saying? And that's why the defense budget every year keep going up, while public school funding and other social programs keep getting cut. You know, that's a difference between Democrats and Republicans. Stance on abortion. You know, Democrats believe that, you know, it should be a woman's choice because it's her body, her choice. You know, compared to Republicans who believe it should be illegal, you know, and oppose Roe versus Wade. So when people say about, you know, Democrats and Republicans are the same, they're not the same.
No, they're absolutely different. You know, Democrats are... You know, they want to expand Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid. They want universal health care, food stamps, free school lunches and breakfast, free public education, unemployment benefits, strong environmental laws, regulations on industries, stricter gun control laws, less strict immigration laws, workers' rights, unions. Support civil rights, living wage, civil liberty, social equality, a mixed capitalist economy, legalization of marijuana, LGBTQ rights, LGBT rights, criminal justice, equal opportunity for all, consumer protection. The party also represents farmers, rural interests, laborers. You know, all people are equal. In their view, and you know, they want to reduce the student debt, the college debt, lower taxes for people that make under $400,000 a year, and raise taxes on the rich and the corporations. And then, David, you can do the Republicans: equal pay for women, equal work, $15 minimum wage, which is really not enough in this age right now. They defend same-sex marriage. They have access. They for access of reproductive health care. They're pro-choice. They offer tax credits to make clean energy more accessible for consumers and increase domestic production of clean energy. Reform student loan system. Wants easy access to voting to uphold voting rights. Oppose torture. Subsidized housing, infrastructure development. And that all increases job creation. So those are some of the things that Democrats stand for, what they stand for, what they want, and what they're working to you know, working to give the people the country.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about a dog in the background. Sorry about that. Yeah, so that's what Democrats stand for and everything, giving equal opportunity to people, opening the playing field, making a level playing field in terms of taxes, you know, and, you know, the social issues, you know, the stance on gay marriage and military issues, human ideas. You know, the Republicans base on human rights and justice compared to Democrats, who base social and human ideas on community and social responsibility. Like Hillary Clinton said, takes a village. But Republicans believe that individual rights and justice, and no man is an island. So when you build a business, you didn't build it by yourself. It's the people who come in and support your business, you know? And the Republican philosophy is so skewed where you say, oh, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You know, come on, it's people who help you to make your business prosper. Economic ideas, the Republicans believe that taxes shouldn't be increased for anyone, including the wealthy, and that wages should be set by the free market. So the minimum wage is like $9.25. I'm on the floor.
I know.
What?
It's wondering, is that not working?
Yeah, it is working.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, so... $9.25 for the minimum wage, for example. Since the 1970s, right till now, it's been the same minimum wage, $7.25 or whatever it is, and people asking for $15 an hour. You know?
Yeah.
And early in the show, you're saying that CEOs getting millions in bonuses and everything. So how can you pay rent? And if you have kids, how can you pay school fees and put food on the table with $7.25 an hour job as minimum wage? That's madness. In Europe, the minimum wage in Sweden and Scandinavia, for example, is $23 per hour for a McDonald's person. You know? No, I mean, we're just asking for $15 an hour, but yet still Republicans want to cut taxes for the wealthy and everybody, sort of claim. But when you do the mathematics, the wealthy come out on top with their tax cut proposal. They want a 30% national tax. So if you go and buy something, for example, you know, everybody across the board will pay a 30% tax. You know, the person who's making minimum wage, that is going to fuck them over totally. You know, the polls... gay marriage, but yet still behind closed doors, the same Republicans who said they are born again evangelicals, they're having homosexual relationships. What's with the hypocrisy? You know, the death penalty, a large percentage of the Republicans are for the death penalty compared to Democrats who support reforming the prisoner, for example. You know, and suppose it was a mistake with DNA collecting that, you know, you put somebody on death row and
they're always letting people out of jail that were in there 20 years, 25 years, and they prove them innocent.
Exactly.
They made a lot of mistakes.
Some of those people and some of these people were on death row themselves. So thank God for DNA evidence, you know, but if it was for Trump and Republicans, you know, they'd have been dead already. Look at the five guys in Central Park. Trump, without hearing the evidence, wanted to put them to death. This is what the Republicans stand for. These rat bastard
Trump took
Republicans.
Out a full-page ad to have them crucified.
David, how about the Republicans with their support of the Second Amendment?
I'm so sick of that. You know, they should amend the Second Amendment because back in the day, it was musket. You know, the forefathers and the founding fathers didn't know or, you know, saw that, you know, we'd have assault rifles like AK-47s and AR-15s. You know, so it's ridiculous, really. You know, that should be amended. We have amended other things in the Constitution. So why do you think that the Second Amendment is untouchable? You know?
For the destruction of gun manufacturers.
It's not being interpreted the way it was written. It was written for a well-regulated militia, not a free-for-all. Mm-hmm.
No.
There's a big difference between a well-regulated militia and general public.
Yeah, for sure.
But they keep repeating the narrative. I shouldn't say they. It started with the NRA. The narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And they told it to their members, and their members started repeating it. And then they became the gossip game, and they kept repeating it and repeating it.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody,
yeah.
then the NRA said that we're going to take all their guns away.
This is the way
dictatorships work. They put fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unjustified fear in the thoughts and minds of people.
Exactly.
Yes.
So a next difference between Democrats and Republicans, a stance on government regulations. Well, Democrats are for regulations to protect consumers. Republicans are against government regulations because they think it hinders free markets and capitalism and job growth. So if we had regulations, for example, that overturning where the train derailed and chemicals were letting loose and people getting poison and cancer and what have you, polluted water. Look at what's happening in Flint, Michigan. You know, it's almost a decade and just more people are moving. You know, so if we had regulations in place, regulate goddamn Wall Street, for example. You know, Wall Street should be the biggest ones who should be regulated. A stance on immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats are for a greater overall support, and offering a pathway to citizenship, for certain undocumented immigrants. Once you don't have any record as a criminal, you live in the U.S. for 5 years or more, then, you should have a path to citizenship. But these Republicans are generally against amnesty for any undocumented immigrant. They also opposed President Obama's executive order that put the memorandum on deporting certain workers. The Republicans also funded stronger enforcement actions at the border. They said they need more border security and everything, and want to build this wall. And, the piece of wall that I built, breeze blow, rainfall, it fall over. So they want to use taxpayer money along that Mexico-U.S. border, which God knows how long it is. Imagine that money going into education and healthcare and infrastructure and all those different things, And they're blowing this thing out of proportion.
I just don't understand in this day and age that they can't at every embassy of U.S. has in other countries, like the South American countries, why people can't come there, fill out their forms, and get, say, yes, I have an uncle that lives there. He will be my sponsor. Here is my resume or whatever, and get into the country, and they don't have to go through the jungles and risk their lives and starve to death and wind up in tents and all that crap. There's got to be a better way. It's just inhumane what they're doing. And we need people. Who the hell's going to pick the crops? Who does you watch HGTV and you see people with masks because they don't want to be seen, but they're the carpenters. They're the gardeners. They are the tile people. We need them. Nobody wants to do those jobs anymore.
No.
I mean, factory workers. Nobody wants to do it. We need those people, and they want to come, and they are not processed correctly. There's got to be a better way.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, David, did you also talk about Republicans support school of choice?
Oh, God. What the boss was on TV today.
They also support school prayer. They advocate for privatization. Let's see what else. Oh, they oppose welfare programs for the poor. Let's see. Oh, and you know the other thing that gets me about Republicans, when someone says, oh, I'm a Republican, and what is a Republican? Oh, I'm a conservative. So what do they conserve? I want someone to explain. I want a Republican to come on and tell me what they conserve, because they're the ones that always ruin the budget. They are the ones that have, they increase the debt every time. And we can go through history and we can prove it, right?
Right.
I mean,
yep.
And it makes no sense. You know, they're so hypocritical. You know, they don't believe in global warming. You know, they still support oil mm-hmm. and gas. I mean,
and how many people are poor because they got sick, had to have operations, or their family did, and they wound up paying such huge medical bills that they don't have yeah. insurance because that's too damn expensive, and they lose their house. They lose their
yeah.
car. They're living out of their car because of medical bills. It's ridiculous.
Right. Exactly. You know, and they're against, you know, universal health care or Medicare for all, however you want to call it. You know, they're still trying mm-hmm. to, you know, throw away Obamacare, you know, repeal it. You know, it's insane. It's just insane. They don't do anything that helps the American people, yet they want people to freaking vote for them.
Oh, and did you see, I don't know if it was 60 Minutes or one of the news programs, there's this big corporation that buys up all these hospitals, and then mm-hmm. they close them because they're in poor neighborhoods,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because they're not making enough money.
That's
and they allow them to do that. So people are driving 150,
yeah.
200 miles to deliver a baby or whatever.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it mm-hmm. is. Yeah, it should be more than making a profit. Everything is about money in the United States.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay,
so yeah. I have a couple of death announcements. Jerry Springer this morning passed away. Harry Belafonte passed away
yeah.
a couple of days
mm-hmm.
back. Jerry Springer was 71 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was the mayor of Cincinnati. He was a radio show host. And Carolyn Bryant Dunham, she's the woman in the center of the Emmett Till killing. She died today at 88 years old. She didn't apologize
mm-hmm.
for what she did and what she caused, the death of Emmett Till. So may her soul burn in eternal hell. We'll have
yeah,
one more
exactly.
call, and we'll have just under 30 minutes left and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The topic tonight,
okay.
Two Wings on the Same Bird. This is Season 4, Episode 30. Remember, folks,
mm-hmm.
when you call in, say first name, where you're calling from. This is Kitchen Politics 123. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Eric Brantley here.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Eric.
How
what's up,
you?
Man? Welcome.
Hey, I almost didn't make it tonight, but I mean, I had time to step out a bit. You got me for a few minutes.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Eric.
Yeah.
Eric, I want to say happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you so much. And hey, I did get
happy
the text.
Yes, man. Happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. It's very much appreciated.
Yeah.
I, respect and appreciate all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I hope
yes,
it's a good one.
Yes, man. So the topic tonight, Eric, is two wings on the same bird. Some people believe that Democrats and Republicans are basically the same thing. And from the start of the show till now, we've been pointing out very differences between both political parties and everything. And I think that it came to a head in the early 1960s with the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act of 1964, where basically the parties switched positions, where you had Dixiecrats from the South going in droves to the Republican Party, and the Rockefeller Republicans coming over to the Democratic side, some of them. So when people throw this thing like, oh, the Democrats were racist and found the Ku Klux Klan, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, back in the days, in the 1860s after the Civil War. So what's your take on the two political parties? There are major differences, or are they too similar, in your opinion?
You know what? There are way, way more differences than there are similarities. The major differences, of course, being where each of the parties, and whether you want to talk about center-left versus center-right, or far-left versus far-right,
mm-hmm.
It's me, mm-hmm. when you talk about, the top 5 to 10 issues. I mean, you're talking abortion, you're talking health care, you're talking education, wages,
mm-hmm.
stimulus checks, infrastructure, workers,
mm-hmm.
unions. When you talk about that foreign policy, There's always this debacle where whichever party, and this happens especially with the Democrats, where they lay something on the table and that they know is going to be beneficial in some way, shape, or form, whether it's geographically, whether it's economically, socially. Republicans tend to vote against it. The Republicans were against the a lot of Republicans were against the some of the stimulus checks. I think the first couple were okay. When we proposed the 2000, of course, Mitch McConnell was like the leading voice against that. And it's also, you know, when you look at some of the major things, like especially Roe v. Wade, for example, that wasn't overturned until we had a majority conservative Supreme Court. That didn't happen when people like Ginsburg and all that were on there. There's also the idea that, you know, when you look at this, one of the biggest pieces of legislature that Joe Biden had passed, that $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, that was initially supposed to be $6 trillion, which was Bernie Sanders' idea. And then they kept arguing about it, and then they had to water it down and down until it was $5.432 trillion, then in 1.2. A lot of the provisions had to be removed, and even with those provisions removed, Republicans were still against it as a whole. There was also the capping of $35 a month for insulin. And was in the I think that was in the Build Back Better as well. And essentially every Republican, including the center-right ones, were against that as well. And when this stuff is brought up to Republicans in debates, a lot of them don't even respond to it. And so what I tell people, I said, there's a reason why you see that. And I'm not in the minds of these Republicans, and I can't tell you why they are the way they are. But even when it comes to something just the bare minimum that would improve somebody's life, they usually vote no on it. The Democrats right now could propose a stimulus check of $100 to everybody, and the Republicans will still say no. And so that's just the bottom line of it. Now, it's not to say every single Democrat good and every single Republican bad, but with the two parties as a whole, generally, things – I've noticed that usually when the economy has come to a complete crash, usually the person party that's in charge of the White House is Republican. I mean, we saw it under Reagan. We saw it under both Bushes, and we saw it under Trump. And so, I mean, the economy is kind of in an up and down spiral right now. It really depends on who you ask, but I do believe if, as long as you continue to push the Democrats in the right direction and really emphasize the Biden-Harris accomplishments, that once you really get to it, I mean, it's really hard to argue against from a moral standpoint. And a lot of most Republicans in our government are just not for it. So I would say that the main similarity between the two parties is the idea that you do have big donors, that big money donors that will funnel money into the parties, and oftentimes it's not for the exact same reason. So, for example, with the you do have Big Pharma that will funnel both parties, and then you have the NRA, for example, that will primarily do it with the Republicans. I mean, so there's that similarity there. But besides that, I mean, to me, there's still more differences than similarities.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you think we can ever go back to normal in terms of, you know, the parties working together, you know, instead of Republicans trying to bully Democrats into having it?
Well, you know what? To tell you the truth, it's really hard to say. At this particular point, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. The only way that I could possibly see that is if you have a lot of the centrist, the center-right Republicans that really put the pedal to the metal and stand up against the MAGA faction of the party. I could maybe see that, but even with that, that could be tough because, I mean, we saw even like with under Obama, when they did the Obamacare Act, most of the Republicans in the government, I mean, there was no MAGA because there was no Trump, but they were all still against the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. When Bill Clinton was president, there were certain things that him and Newt Gingrich did do together, and you know, arguably, depending on who you ask and who it benefited, sometimes it might have been for the better, sometimes it could have been for the worse, and sometimes Democrats were unfortunately forced to compromise under certain things, and that's why it's important to have a supermajority. And I think Democrats may not have – they could have taken it for granted when Obama first became president because they thought we were safe, but, I mean, that's why they say you can't get complacent with anything, no matter who's in office, no matter who's in the Senate, no matter who's on the Supreme Court or in the House. So, I mean, it's really hard to say. I there's a part of me that would like to believe that we could get to that, but there's no telling when.
And the thing about it, Liz Cheney and Lisa Murkowski and Adam Kinzinger, the former congressman, they tried, but the numbers were so small, and this Republican Party is so beholden to Donald Trump that it was like the loss of minds and everything. And anybody who's like show a little bit of moderation, you know, they either get kicked out of the party or they get censored if they're a congressperson, or, you know, at some elective office, whether mayor or councilman or, you know. So the Republican Party believe in dictatorship. Every day it's seeming more and more likely that the Republican Party going in that direction. You know, what would Ronald Reagan think? He'd probably turn his grave to see what the Republican Party is turning into. And Eisenhower and Barry Goldwater warned about this, where when you have evangelical Christians coming in and trying to dictate the policies, what Republicans should believe in, and, you know, trying to Christianize our government. That's where the problem is. If we can get all that out and the big money out, I think there's some hope. But now, I don't see any hope coming because of the current Republican Party.
Well, you know what? And that's, you know, that's the thing about it, too, is, even as a person who's anti-Republican, even against the non-MAGA Republicans, it's completely ridiculous, it's silly, it's frivolous, and it's immature that people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and, you know, like the Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney type, John McCain, that they are essentially ousted by a lot of the party because of their disapproval or their dislike of Trump. And to me, these are the same people who claim that they're putting the country before any party or before any person, but they're quick to kick out the first person who says one critical thing of Trump, and they say, well, you're not for Trump, so that means you're not for America. So they're equating a person with a country. So to them, Trump is America. And you know what? To me, that right there, I think a lot of that has kind of made them look worse and worse, which kind of benefits us in a way, because more people are seeing, it's like, well, listen, if you're going to be for Trump, okay, but what does that mean? Oh, they're not for him, so that means they're not for America. Well, there's a lot of us here that are for America that are not for Trump in any way, shape, or form. So, I mean, it's the whole thing is just embarrassing, it's childish, and I'm just glad that I'm not part of it.
Me too. You know, we have disrespectful Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz. I mean, they're all appalling people, you know. And what Jim Jordan is trying to do, I mean, shame on him as well. You know, in New York, he's trying to undermine, you know, that case. It's just appalling. Mm-hmm. They're not doing the people's work. That's what they're not doing. They're not doing what they were sent there and paid, you know, and being paid to do. And I mean, they have to be voted out. That's all there is to it. What do you think about President Biden running a second term, Eric?
You know what? I'm already on board. I support it, and I'm going to continue to use his list of accomplishments as the reason for me promoting his reelection. And so I think that as long as we continue to push him to do certain things right now, I don't trust that anything good is going to get through the House with where it stands now and considering who's leading that. But that's why I say, you know what, there are certain things that I could push for or to advocate for that he could be able to do through executive order. For example, just legalize marijuana, just free the nonviolent drug offenders and say it'll be effective, you know, either immediately or really soon or however that can work. So decriminalize and legalize marijuana, free the nonviolent drug offenders, and I would say end our engagement and pull out of Iraq and Syria. And also I would say as far as the community college, make at least 2 years of that free. And I think that alone right there, those things alone would easily boost his approval ratings at least by 10%. And so that he'll have more people on board with that. So yeah, as long as we just continue to push in that right direction and we really just continue to emphasize the things that's been done, we can make it.
Don't you think as well, you know, the Roe versus Wade, you know, to get that back, you know, pro-choice, of course, you know, and all the things that they've been trying, that they've tried to take away, you know, the LGBTQ rights and, you know, banning books. And don't you think all of that will be a stepping stone for President Biden as well? Because his slogan is going to be, what was it? The work is not done.
Yeah, he said he's gonna continue to do the job and finish the job.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you know, the whole thing about people like DeSantis and a lot of these other far-right Republicans who want to ban books, it's like the whole thing about it is this is another product of the idea that Republicans are not for education and they're not for a good education. And the thing about that is there's a reason why they're trying to, and this is why they're having this ridiculous argument about the critical race theory. It's like, why don't you believe that the kids, like, even if it's not as far as elementary or middle school, but at least by high school, why don't these kids have the right to know what their history is, especially the kids of color, the black kids? It's like, why do you want them to not know that? What is it that you feel guilty about? Like, why do you feel apprehensive about this? And as long as the Democrats continue to emphasize why that's important to talk about that and why it's so disastrous that Republicans are trying to do that, it'll continue to make Democrats look better and make Republicans look worse. And frankly, that's not the Democrats' fault. The Republicans are doing it to themselves. So as long as they continue to go in that direction, all they're doing is helping Biden and the Democrats.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to ask everybody about state rights and everything, but we'll have another caller. The number is 515-605-9802. When you call in, say first name where you're calling from. We'll have 10 minutes. Hello, caller from Michigan. This is Madeline. Hello, Madeline. Welcome to the show.
Hello,
you have
everyone.
Anything to add on to what Earth said?
Well, actually,
hi, Madeline.
Hi,
hey,
Lori. And hello, Eric. And a happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
I saw that. Getting back to the education, you know, Eric nailed it as far as the critical race. In addition to it's proven in history that knowledge people are afraid of, groups are afraid of, terrorists are afraid of. It's just like the Taliban won't let the women become educated. It's a fear of losing their power.
Mm-hmm. Well,
mm-hmm.
knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Go ahead, Lori.
Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. You know, and if you don't have knowledge, then you don't know what they're happening around
and
you're powerless. You know.
I don't understand. They want to ban books because of context. Why is the Bible still in school?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, the Bible does have some very seen passages in it from history, but yet the Bible is the evangelicals. You know, it's untouchable. I don't understand. I can't get anybody to tell me why they're fearful of sex education. They're fearful of CRT, and yet not one person will talk about the Bible. And don't get me wrong. I was Catholic, and yes, the Catholic Church has had marks on its shoulders for years. Centuries, actually. I mean, the church was not really the church that it is today. Let's put it that way. They were doing some things that were not good. It was more of a power trip than it was a religious experience. So the church is nothing to brag about way back when. But, again, all these little, you know, the Ted Cruz's, I don't even like saying his name in Florida, DeSantis. Ban those books, but the Bible doesn't get to play. And I would really wish somebody would get a good conversation regarding that, because there are some terrible things in the Bible. I sent them to Lori. I think I sent them to you and Susie and Dave. Passages that are just what went on years ago. Who slept with who? Who was related to who? It's terrible.
Yep.
A lot of incest in the Bible.
Yes, there is.
I got it. So, education, yes, fearful, lack of power. Democrats, we need to, I don't want to say get down in the mud and fight with them, but let's, I don't know. I would not lower myself to these Republicans. And I don't think either of any of you would either. Unless you get down and dirty equally, how else? How else? You know, this burden has got to stop. Who do we have? Who do we have equal to Jim Jordan? What? Jimmy Raskin, the poor man? He's not well. Katie Porter? Not quite.
No. He is cancer-free. Did you know that?
Congratulations. Praise Jesus. Thank you.
Yes, he is cancer-free. Yes, he's cancer-free.
I wish more people would have his condition. Losing his son the way he did. And then get sick. What was a... That man had his fair share of hard luck, okay?
Yep.
So,
you're right.
Here, good people. And I am proud to say you guys have done a great job. Now you've got this great show, your website. I'm waiting for that YouTube channel now, guys.
It's in the works. It's in the works. I want to ask Eric and everybody, because we have 5 minutes left, what do you think about Republicans pushing for states' rights? Because I thought that states' rights is one of the reasons why the Civil War was fought. You know, I think it's a ridiculous thing that Trump trying to push state rights and some Republicans in the Senate and the House trying to push state rights. Starting with Lori, what do you think? And then Eric, and then Elaine, and then Susie, and then,
I don't like it, to be honest, because I think it will pin states against each other. We are one nation, and that's the way I think we should govern as a nation. As it is right now, you know, the red states don't like the blue states, and the blue states don't, you know, and the Roe versus Wade was supposed to be a state-to-state thing, and that's turning into a debacle as well. So, no, I'm not for that. That's my opinion.
Susie.
Next.
I'm thinking that states' rights, when they're not having a disaster and then they got their hands out for the federal government to bail them out.
That's a good point, right?
Is what it is.
Exactly, exactly. Elaine, your thoughts?
I'm not for states' rights. I have made that comment quite a few times. This is what's happening. States' rights makes us 50 different countries. And we aren't 50 different countries. We are united under one.
Yep. That's what I
think. Not on the states' rights.
We either
learn to get along or, you know, we just don't have a country. I am not for states' rights.
Eric, what do you think?
You know what? To tell you the truth, 100%, I've always kind of had mixed thoughts on it, mainly because, and I'll be honest, at first I didn't really put enough thought into that. I guess the thing about it is, usually when I think states' rights, one of the first few issues that come to my mind was the whole abortion and Roe v. Wade thing. So when both sides were arguing about, well, should we leave it up to states? Well, you know what? It's like this. I think one of the states did do a law that said, okay, well, if you're going to abort, then do it within the first, 2 months, 2-3 months. There was a part of me that thought, well, okay, well, if they had that federally, then you have enough to keep, obviously, most of the liberal voters, you have a lot of the independents, and maybe even some purple state centrist Republicans. And so that's why you have a lot of Republicans, because if you have one state that does say we're going to completely ban abortion, you have even some Republicans who are not on board with that. And we saw that with Arkansas back in 2019, I believe that was. I think it's a hard sell either way, and this is where the catch-22 comes in. You leave it up to that, you're also going to have problems with the parties internally, not just with Republicans fighting each other, but then the Democrats And then also that you might get that federally as well. I think, if anything, I think it's okay to try to run a test experiment on maybe in certain states, depending on. But at the same time, it's just we kind of wouldn't be in this mess if the Supreme Court didn't do what it did to begin with. I mean,
exactly.
There's really no telling the future's going to hold, but that's why we have to continue to elect more people who do support the pro-choice and also emphasize, you know, the importance of, well, we got to get down to the bottom of the other issues. Where can the states have their rights at as far as what issues can they leave it up to? What about health care? What about as far as the schools? If each state wants to give their people stimulus checks and let's say the federal government didn't intervene in that, I'm okay with that too. That's
mm-hmm.
exactly what Gavin Newsom did in California. That's why his approval ratings
mm-hmm.
are increasing. And that's why he went up as high as he was already averaging out 55% to 58%. And then after doing that, he went up
mm-hmm.
to 60%, 61%. So to me,
mm-hmm.
it really depends on what they're doing exactly. It's the context. Are you doing something that's actually beneficial to your
mm-hmm.
citizens in your state? Or are you doing something
mm-hmm.
where you leave them with no rights? I think the hypocrisy of that is the Republicans who want to sit there and say that, yeah, we'll leave it up to the state's rights and people can still have their freedom. But then you have a state like Arkansas
mm-hmm.
where I don't know if it was Asa Hutchinson that did that or if it was one of the legislators, but when they banned abortion down there, well, that right there
mm-hmm.
is a right that a lot of women down there had taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's a hard argument either way. That's why that's one of the things I've
mm-hmm.
kind of been torn on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Madeline, what's your thoughts on states' rights?
I'm not for it at all. You're talking 50 different countries for 50 different politicians
mm-hmm.
who have 50 different
mm-hmm.
self-righteous all for themselves. It's you see it now. How many of these?
Mm-hmm.
The Governor Kemp, the Governor Abbott, DeSantis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're all what they did.
Yes,
what
yes.
they did in Tennessee with the two legislatures. No, this is, no, I do not agree with it whatsoever. The United States
yes,
has to. The United States
mm-hmm.
Supreme Court needs to.
Mm-hmm.
I personally feel. Is what's going to band
mm-hmm.
all these states together because they are,
mm-hmm.
up until recently, ethically sound. But thank
mm-hmm.
God for Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, okay? He finally
mm-hmm.
put something,
yes,
in, place,
definitely.
Something
yep.
in place for them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
needless
that's
to say, I'm not for it at all.
Yeah,
okay.
That's has to be the last word. Thank you, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Madeline, Susie. Elaine, for calling in. It was a spirited show. Well, covered a lot of topics. And yes, there are differences
mm-hmm.
between Democrats and Republicans.
Yes,
they're not
sure.
the same. You know, not even the same
yeah.
you know, league. Democrats are way above Republicans in terms of wanting, you know, knowing how to govern and not just winning elections. So thank you all for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Everybody have a nice night.
Have a nice
yes,
day.
Ma'am.
Good night.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, it was a good show. And like I said, it was a spirited show and everything. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had a lot of callers today. And we're getting a lot of feedback from kitchenpolitics123.com. Well, thank you
mm-hmm.
for you visiting. And we're also on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a community page. And we'll also have a Facebook group. Look us up.
Mm-hmm.
It's vibrant there as well. Okay, so
yeah.
thank you so much for listening. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Thursday, April 27, 2023, Season 4, Episode 30, Two Wings and the Same Bird. Until
mm-hmm.
next time, same place, Monday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. This has been Kitchen Politics 123. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David, and this is Lori Picka from Michigan. Everyone be safe and have a good evening. See you again. Bye now. Thank you.
For our democracy. This shouldn't be a red revolution. To protect our rights, to make sure that everyone in this country is treated equally, and that everyone is given a fair shot at making it. But you know, around the country, MAGA extremists are lining up to take on those bedrock freedoms, cutting Social Security that you paid for your entire life while cutting taxes for the very wealthy, dictating what health care decisions women can make, banning books, and telling people who they can love, all while making it more difficult for you to be able to vote. When I ran for president 4 years ago, I said we're in a battle for the soul of America, and we still are. The question we're facing is whether in the years ahead we have more freedom or less freedom, more rights or fewer. I know what I want the answer to be, and I think you do too. This is not a time to be complacent. That's why I'm running for re-election. Because I know America. I know we're good and decent people. I know we're still a country that believes in honesty and respect and treating each other with dignity. that we're a nation where we give hate no safe harbor. We believe that everyone is equal, that everyone should be given a fair shot to succeed in this country.
Thank you for choosing us.
Every generation of Americans has faced a moment when they have to defend democracy. Stand up for our personal freedom. Stand up for the right to vote and our civil rights. And this is our moment. So if you're with me, who did Joe Biden not get on the side? Let's finish this show. I know we can. Is this the United States of America? There's nothing else we can, nothing we cannot do. Joe Biden, and I approve this message.